Welcome back to the Dylan Friends podcast. This week, very special guest, the Slippery Fish, Zach Fisher. Zach is an up-and-coming star down at Princess Park. He's just signed a massive three-year deal with the Blues, which will see him at the club until 2023. I thought, what better time to get this exciting speedster on the show? We chat about 2020, what it was like living with me when he first got drafted versus downgrading to live with Paddy Cripps, his new role as a small forward, learning the tricks of the trade from Eddie Betts, kicking snags, and his love or obsession with gaming. It was great catching up with Zach. I hope you enjoyed the chat as much as we did. And please, don't forget, if you like the episode, it'll be a huge help. I'd be forever indebted if you could subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Let's go.
Welcome to the Dylan Friends podcast. My name is Deborah, Dylan's mum. Strap yourselves in for some lighthearted and wholesome fun. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
Zach Fisher, welcome to the Dylan Friends podcast, my friend. This has been a long time in the making, and it's good to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dylan. Long time coming, I reckon. Huge fan.
It has been. Mate, I just want to start it, not on a negative note, but I've done a lot of podcasts in COVID-19, and it's unprecedented time. So, obviously, we're not in the same state at the moment. You're in Perth, I'm in Melbourne. Technology's hard to deal with, but in saying that, I have never experienced over an hour it has taken you to set up your podcast material for me tonight. I'm still wondering if you're still recording right now. I'm actually quite nervous that this is not even recording.
I am checking. I'm a perfectionist, mate, and I think all is well. I'm getting a few notifications on the left here, but I think we're good.
It's good. Now, it's an honour to have you, my friend, and our relationship, I suppose, stems back to a long time. I've absolutely loved seeing you killing it over the last few years, but first, I do want to congratulate you because a new four-year contract, bloody huge, well-deserved. Congratulations on that. How does it feel to be putting pen to paper?
Nah, it's awesome, mate. It is only 3 years, but, mate, I'm bloody excited with the direction of the club and, you know, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, so that's good.
Okay, I thought it was 4 years. That's fine, so we're off to a good start. Now, mate, you're in York at the moment, which is your hometown. You're with your great old man, Jez. Talk us through York, because since we met, and we will get into that shortly, but since we met, you've always said the Prince of York, that's you. Where is York? What's it about, and why is it so special?
York's about an hour and a half inland of Perth. It is a self-proclaimed nickname, but I've kind of gone away from it. I haven't been here in a long time, but it's about 1,000 people live here. Chance Bateman, premiership player, is from here, and the Duperuzzles, back in the day, played for the Saints. But there's not a lot going on down here, but, yeah, it's a nice remote place.
It's a beautiful place. I haven't been there yet, but I've spoken to your old man, Jeremy, and he has extended his welcome to me. So as soon as I can get out of Victoria, mate, York will be up there with the top probably 150 places I will visit in the next 3 years. So I'm very excited to get up to York. I've heard nothing but good things. Now, mate, I'd love to set the scene. Our relationship, it's been a great one. I've loved every minute of it, but it started about 5 years ago when you were picked up to the Blues when I was still there. And a young, fresh-faced Zach Fisher was looking for a home. He was looking for a nest because he was away from mum and dad and he didn't have anywhere to live. And I thought, look, I can see something in this young man and I want to take him under my wing. So I put the hand up. I said, I want this guy to come live with me. You did. You came and lived with me. I can't remember how long it was for now. It was probably a few months. But take me back to those times. What are your first memories of getting to Melbourne, I suppose? What are your first memories of getting to Carlton? And when did it all happen? Because I can't really remember how it actually panned out.
Yeah. Well, it was obviously all a bit of a blur. It was all exciting. But, yes, you did take me under your wing per se. And I think my first memories were living in the cloud, which I Googled. And it's about 40K from Icon Park. The barbecues with the halloumi cheese and Frank and Jas. Yeah, they're all good memories. I had a bit of a reflection. So you took me in. Samo went to Ed Curno and Creed's got Clary. So, you know, all fair trades, like for likes.
What was your first memories, I suppose, getting to Melbourne? As I said, I was trying to work out, did I pick you up from the airport or did I pick you up from the club? How did it work? Do you remember?
I stayed in Vibe across the club for a couple nights. Yep. And then moved in with you.
Okay, it makes sense because my first memories of you, and I don't know if I'm making this up or not, but I remember picking you up and you rocked up to my house and all we had was a backpack and a skateboard.
That would make sense, mate, because I didn't have much to pack back here.
You didn't. And I thought, look, I thought getting in, getting you into my house at that time as well, I thought this is going to be really exciting. I'm going to have this superstar young kid come live with me. But another really important thing you did make mention, I was living 40Ks out of the city, okay? I was never on good money. Had to get a place quite far out of the city, which I was doing renovations at the time.
Do you still have it?
I do still have that place. But one thing, I was very disappointed in yourself in that time, and I thought it was going to correlate into your footy, which it didn't, but you never really wanted to help me out the renovations around the house, did you?
Well, mate, I didn't even want to cook, and I don't think I've cooked a meal since being with you, to be honest. My lovely partner is really good at that, but I'm not much of a handyman, if you can believe it or not.
Yeah, but you're a very handsome man, so that makes up for it. Now, as I said earlier, I thought I'd take this young kid under my wing, which I tried to do my best. I tried to do the right thing by you, show you the ropes in that first year at the club. But I think I actually did nearly too good of a job at that, because about 6 months later, you probably took my position and then I ended up not having a job at all. What were your memories of first coming down to the club and, I suppose, setting it alight, mate? Because you were such a light kid. I think no one really thought that you were going to play too early, but you did, because you debuted sort of in your first year and played some really good footy.
Yeah, I think I got drafted about 62 kilos, believe it or not, which is quite light. But, yeah, I think I just had the goal. Being a slighter frame, I think you just want to prove yourself to the group. And actually, one of my first memories down in training was you tackling me. And you remember that when you let me know about it and Murph had to pull you off? No, it was all good. But probably my first memory was that tackle from you.
I don't remember that at all. I didn't really like the tackle too much, but one thing I do remember about you is how tough you were and how much you did impress the guys by, you know, taking on the big boys. But it was always something that never really bothered you at all, your height and your size. But I suppose we'll get into that a little bit later. What else do you think are memories you learnt early days? Like, I remember when I was a young kid coming into a club, you probably, and not speaking for you here because I don't think it is too similar, but I sort of just thought things were going to happen. I probably didn't have too many people giving me advice on what to do. What do you remember early days? Was it something maybe like Bolts had talked to you about, or certain people had sort of told you about playing senior footy?
So Samo went picked, I think it was 6 or 7, and I always thought I was as good, so, which is probably a bit arrogant to say, but I always thought if I could compete with him and go along with him, that I'd try to just compete against him, and then I think things would fall into place, if that makes sense. So I felt like he was a really good person to push me, and I'd hopefully push him as well, but having someone like him who I got drafted with, who I could compete with, I thought really set me up.
What I want to know, though, is because you were picked up, what, pick 20-something?
27.
27. So early days, you're a pretty small guy. Was it always actually on the radar to get drafted? Like, were you always going to sort of get picked up, or was it a growth spurt in that early time that got you to the club?
I always had aspirations to be getting drafted, but I think I lost a bit of hope, I reckon, in year 10 because of my size, but I was able to play senior waffle football in my draft year, and I was able to play some consistent good football there, and I think being able to play against men gave me the confidence again, and obviously having a consistent year injury-free, really set me up. So it was definitely always the goal.
What would you say now, you reckon, to a young kid in your position? Obviously this year kids are going to be stressing out with no draft year footy. They don't probably know what's going to happen in the draft. 20 young kid that's trying to get picked up, what would be, you know, you're probably at that stage now where you can look back and reflect on your first few years. What would be some advice you'd give a young kid entering into the AFL?
I'd probably say just being consistent with, I guess, your training habits, I'd say. And, you know, there's a lot of cliches that can be thrown out with advice, but I think just doing every rep and every kick with as much purpose as you can to, you know, just keep improving.
I like that, my friend. I probably didn't do enough of it. As we said earlier, you were a very slight young man. Early days in your career, is there a story where you might have been mistaken as someone that was doing work experience at the club?
Mate, I still get that to this day. I can't remember the exact day you're talking about, but I think 2 years ago, Belle and I, shout out to Belle, went to a movies, MA15. I didn't have my ID and I got knocked back. Couldn't see the movie.
You're kidding.
Which is incredible stuff.
Mate, the reason I ask is because this happened to me. One day, Jason Ackermanis, he's obviously a fairly good player. I don't think you're at the club at this stage, but he came down to Carlton and he was trying to become a coach. anyway, I was like, geez, Jason Akermanis, what a player. I want to sit down with this bloke and just learn everything he can do. You know, handstands, three-time premiership player, you know, Brownlow medalist, absolute superstar. So I'm sitting down with Jason Akermanis, chewing his ear off, thinking he's interested in the conversation. He knows who I am. I reckon we were chatting for probably 25 minutes. He was giving me tips about how to play and what to do. And he was pretty much sort of just telling me about what he was doing his whole career. And it got towards the end of the conversation, and the last question he asked me was how am I finding my first year in the system? It was actually my fourth year at that stage. It was honestly one of the most, I don't think I've ever felt as shit in my life as when Jason Akermanis said to me, how are you going in your first year? It was my fourth year. I probably played about 20 games and he had absolutely no idea who I was whatsoever.
Well, you've stolen his upside down handstand in the change rooms.
I can't talk about that too much, but it is a rumor that keeps going around. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Mate, when you moved out of mine, which was a sad day, you house hopped a little bit, you went around, and then you moved in with one, the captain, the messiah of the Blues, Paddy Cripps. Tell us what it's like living with Paddy Cripps.
Yeah, mate, he's a class act, obviously. You know Patrick, good mates with Patrick. But I think I had a year with him, being close mates with him, but he's the ultimate professional. I think I've said it a few times, but just his diet and being able to, you know, look at what he puts in his body, you know, something that I've really taken to. But just having, you know, the captain of the club, someone who believed in you and you can have chats with all the time, I reckon it was a really good step for my football career.
What was he like? Okay, we know he's a professional man, but surely he's got to have a funny side to him. Is there anything that you can tell us about Paddy Cripps that he might not want us to know?
The only thing I can think of is just he loves a fart. He just loves the sound of a fart. I've never seen someone giggle so much at the sound of a fart.
He's quite childish.
I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, he's very childish. He's a very big kid, but he's very funny.
Living with the captain, you'd feel like you're pretty safe with most things, true?
True.
So just say, you know, when you go into training, you're going to always be professional, is that right?
Yeah.
So what would you say, if I have it on good authority, that living with the captain, you were still late to training twice?
You'd be right. You would be right. who told you this?
Mate, I can never reveal these secrets, but how did this come about?
Yeah, mate, to be honest, I'm not a great sleeper, mate. I slept through two alarms under Cripper's watch, and he gets pretty angry when it's under his watch because there's a lot of stuff that comes back at Pat. But yeah, I'm sorry, mate.
What were some of the punishments? Did you have to do punishments post these sessions? Was it true that he had to actually control these punishments?
No. So I think at the time it was still Bolt, and he was a big believer in group punishment. So I think I made the boys do 2 5 a.m. swims. I think it was like 15, 20 laps.
Where at?
And I'm the worst. Brunswick Baths. So made, 46 of the lads get up early and go for a swim.
The one thing about punishments is when you're late, it's probably fair enough when it's by yourself. Like I remember when I was late once, a punishment we had to do in my first year was if you'd stuffed up in a certain, like to say you were late to a meeting, late to training, something like that. It was my first year. It was like nearly my first month we had to do. So basically what the punishment was you had to do a watt bike test on, which are like 15 minutes, but they're like the hardest 15 minutes you'll ever do. And you have to choose a coach and someone from the leadership group to do it with you. So you have to ask them to do it with you and come into the club at 5 a.m. So one day I'd asked Murph because I just, you know, really got along with him and he was a good guy. And he's like, yep, I'll do it with you. But what had happened was Juddy wasn't playing that week and he needed to get some extra fitness in. And they said, well, look, Murphy's playing this week. Juddy's going to have to come out. So you're going to have to go ask Juddy. So I had to go and ask, in my first month, go out to ask Juddy to come meet me at the club at 5 a.m. with Brett Ratton to do a bike test with me because I'd missed the meeting. Like, it's the most embarrassing. Like, you'd probably just rather do it by yourself. But when they add the punishments and they let you do them as a team, you just feel so much worse.
Yeah. I'm surprised you even asked Murph. I can hear you the last person I'd go to now.
Really?
There's no way I'm getting Murph at the club at 5 o'clock.
Would you rather Murph or Simo?
Neither. I'd probably rather Murph. I'd probably pick one of the younger kids. Did it have to be a leader?
It has to be a leader and a coach.
I'd probably pick Doc. He loves the watt bike.
He loves watt bikes. Speaking of Doc, this is one of my favourite stories, and I hope this is true. But in one of your first games, you were cramping, okay? Do you know the story?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to tell it?
Yeah, yeah. So I was a bit notorious for cramping during games, and, you know, I've gone up to the physio, which was Dan Bunch at the time, and I've said, hey, mate, I'm cramping. Do you have any tips for, you know, what I can help with my cramps? He's like, yep, go see Doc, and he's got something, he'll get something for you. So I've gone up to Doc, and I've said, hey, mate, what have you got for, you know, any cramping tips? He's like, yeah, mate, I usually eat salt and vinegar chips. So the next week I rock up to the game with salt and vinegar chips, and Bolts goes like, mate, what are you doing eating salt and vinegar chips? I said, you know, yeah, Doc told me to do it. And later on I found out that they meant the doctor, not Doc. So I got stitched up there. And so, and Doc, I've asked Doc about this story, but he said he was pretty rad. It was like just made up. I was like, yep, salt and vinegar chips is good for cramping, but silly man.
So was Doc trying to stitch you up, or was he just talking?
No, he was being genuine. Because I went up to Doc and I said, hey, mate, you know, Mids or Bunches told me to come to you. So he's just, you know, give me, you know, anything on the top of his head.
Mate, we'll move on to footy now because I know it's a big time for you. But as you know, mate, you alluded to earlier, you are quite a forgetful man sometimes. I've done good authority recently as well. Your 21st birthday came up, and a game on your birthday is great. Talk us through that game and what happened.
Yeah, so I rocked up the game. I've done about an hour of preparation, you know, got my ankles taped, you know, wrists. I've done my outside warm-up with my joggers, and I figured out I forgot my boots. Oh, nightmare.
So what did you do?
I couldn't believe it, mate. Like, I rocked up. I had to call. My first call was Lil O'Sullivan, great human, but I was asked her to go pick him up, and then I asked Belle. She'd had already had a few drinks, so I think Belle drove out and got him, and I think I got him 10:15 before the siren.
Who was coaching at this stage?
Bolt.
What did Bolt say to you?
I don't even think I told him. I tried to keep it pretty quiet because I started to get pretty nervous and I started to sweat, but yeah, we got him in the end, and all was well.
Was there a backup plan? Is there anyone that you could have possibly swapped boots with or worn at that stage?
Simo is the same size, but he was the last resort option. I probably would have wore a size 12 before wearing Simo's boots.
I highly doubt Simo would have let you wear any of his boots ever. He would not let you touch them.
Probably not.
I've never met a man that's more immaculate with his belongings. Exactly. Do you remember, I don't know, you probably weren't playing this day, but Clem Smith, good friend of ours, our ex-teammate, one day we're playing the VFL, obviously, and we're out at Collingwood, playing Collingwood, and Clem did the same thing. He forgot his boots, but he couldn't go and get them. So he played in a pair of he was about a size 9. He played in KJ spare boots, were the only ones. They were metal studs and they were size 12. I've never seen anything like it.
Mate, how did he play?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Better than me. No, he's a good boy. 2020 is a strange year. This season's been crazy, I suppose. No one would have ever, you know, picked that this was going to happen. It was a very, very, you know, unprecedented times. We didn't know what was going to happen. But I suppose your game changed a little bit this year too. Change of position. How'd you find the year? I suppose early on you were injured with your syndesmosis, but you had to fight your way back into the team. How did it all come about?
Yeah, it was a different year, obviously. I think it was for everyone, just being 2020. But, I really set my year to come in as more of a hybrid mid-forward. And then round one, obviously going down with my syndesmosis injury and having 10 weeks off legs, really had to try and just become a forward because I don't think I had the running ability to play mid. So, but I thought I really bought into the role. In the break, I called Teague and I said, hey, mate, obviously I don't think I'll be playing midfield this year, but I'm going to, you know, put my mind and become the best small forward you've got this year. And I think having Eddie Betts there this year was, you know, really great for my development. I think previously we have lacked a lot of leadership in that forward role, especially the small forward, I think. Really put my mind to it, and I thought, yeah, I had a pretty consistent year, which I was pleased with.
No, you did, mate. But it's probably looking back, like, you're pretty lucky that, you know, it's not really nice to say this, but I suppose in a positive out of a negative situation, if the season didn't get called off, you could have nearly missed the majority of it.
Yeah, I think it was – I missed 16 weeks of games, if that was the case. So I would have come back at round 18, which would have been. So in that case, I was blessed and very fortunate. I think I only missed four games in the end.
Yeah, and you did a bloody good job, man. Small forward role. And from my opinion, it's easily the hardest role in footy. I genuinely hated playing it. It was just like so hard. You run all day. You never get the ball. I didn't, but you've done that pretty well.
I don't get much either.
No, talk us through that role, mate, because honestly, it is such an underrated position. I spoke to Nick Haynes about this, I suppose, a little bit earlier with the All-Australian and how it probably should be recognised a little bit more rather than putting, you know, resting midfielders down there.
Yep.
Talk us through like a focus of a small forward in a game for someone who wouldn't know what it actually is.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is being a small forward, and I think a lot of us young draftees at Carlton were all mids, so coming down and not getting a lot of disposals I think was sometimes hard to accept. But I think the biggest thing is just being accepted for being a pressure forward, and I think a big thing for us this year is just implied pressure in 450 tackles. And I think when you think about it, it's actually quite easy to do because it's, I think it's all about your mindset and not on the stat board. But when things go your way, and I was lucky enough in my first game, you know, you get to hit the scoreboard, which is the ultimate reward. But I think getting praised by your teammates for the other small stuff definitely makes it worth it.
Do you reckon it sort of changed, I suppose, like obviously you said, you know, you're setting yourself for a big year in the midfield. Which, you know, 99% of guys want to play midfield. But do you think this year, going down, playing forward, it actually made you realise that this is actually a pretty cool position? Or do you still want to someday still, you know, get back into the mids?
No, I think definitely I'm going to put all my eggs in this basket for this stage. I think you know that you want to have more than one boat. One boat is more, what is the saying, Dil?
More eggs to your string bows.
More eggs to your bowstrings, yep. So I don't want to be pigeonholed to one position, but if I can really nail this role, then, you know, if we're Carlton are stacked with small forwards or mids and I'm a bit versatile, I think that's, you know, really important.
What's Eddie Betts been like for you, man? Like, obviously, he's one of the game's greatest small forwards of all time. I was lucky enough to have him there just before he left, so I had, like, I think 2 years with him before he went to Adelaide. But I remember just like the leadership and stuff that he gives off. What's he been like for you boys in the small forwards, I suppose?
Yeah, Eddie's been massive for both Gibbo and I. I think even this year, I think we both rested forward hoping to get back in the inside. But I think what he's done for us this year is when we went down to play small forward, we wanted to earn his respect as a small forward. So he gave us that, you know, extra motivation and belief, I guess. But, yeah, he's a ripper. He's a really caring guy. I've got a lot of time for Eddie.
Yeah, we all have time for Eddie. He's a great man. Mate, unfortunately in footy, though, as good as you play, sometimes you'll experience some coach spray sweat at a time. Playing footy, it's all a part of it, and we love it. We love to celebrate it. Have you had the pleasure of copping any good ones throughout your time?
I've only got one for you, mate, and it was under Bolts. I think we're playing Freo. I think we've been pumped by, I think it was 60-6 at half time.
It's not too bad.
And he's thrown his pen at the TV that we're looking at, and he's just lofted it like a little lob, and as soon as it's hit, it's just smashed the whole thing and like a few of the ball. I think it was Ed Kerno even laughed mid-spray. I couldn't believe it, but I think the worst thing to do in a spray is definitely laugh.
Ed Kerno is a very special man. He's probably the only one who can get away with it. Speaking of Ed Kerno, because he could be the man in this, but we're a big fan on this show of talking about Moneyball players. Have you seen that movie Moneyball?
Yeah.
If we had to pick a Moneyball player at Carlton, who do you think it would be?
I do have Ed Kerno.
You do? Yes. But I think Ed Kerno, besides Ed Kerno, I want it because Ed Kerno is so underrated now, but he's very good player. Like, he's so mentally, I've never seen anyone like Ed. He's probably the mentally most toughest player, one of the most toughest players I've seen besides, as well as Matt DeBoer. Is anyone else that we don't really know about that is so rated that, you know, get something done under the field or internally rated at the Blues?
Well, I've got another two. I had Cade Simpson this year. Yeah. I reckon, you know, he produced another great year, and it is sad to see a legend of the club go. And I've also got Jack Nunes. I think he's my favourite teammate I've had at the club, hands down.
How good is Jack?
And he's so good. He's competitive. He's fiery. And can kick a bender from anywhere.
How has it been having him in? I know you just said that he's been your favourite teammate, but that goal he kicked, that was unbelievable.
Oh, unbelievable. And Murph had one just the year before against Freo. So I've been blessed with back-to-back game winners against Freo.
Mate, speaking of some good players that look like they're coming in. Now, I know you can't comment on this because it's you know, you play for the team. But I'm going to say it looks like, from an outside perspective, that Zach Williams and Saad have nominated the Blues. And hopefully they get there. But if you could pick any other player, and this is not, you know, this is, we're not breaking the rules here. We're just saying, if you could pick your favourite player in the AFL to come to play for your own team, who would you pick?
I think it'd be out of Josh Kelly and Toby Green. Maybe Lockie Whitfield, the three Giants boys.
You've got to stick, man. You've got to stop taking Giants players. You've got to try and get someone else besides Giants boys.
Yeah, well, we've given you back, so it's like for life.
That's true. That is true. That is. Yeah. I think Carlton are still winning. I mean, Giants are still winning that deal, to be honest. You're a very popular man down at the Blues. You got a great crew of young blokes. Who do you knock around with there at the most?
I'm good friends with Gibbo, Murph, maybe Setters and Walshy would be people are hanging around with the most. But I don't have much dirt on them for you, mate.
You don't?
Got nothing for you.
Good. Okay, well, I do because Will Setterfield, good friend of mine, very, very lovely man from the Giants. I was just wondering one thing he left. He said that he left this in Melbourne when he came to Sydney, and it was his wallet. He always seemed to go missing with that one. I was wondering if he was saying that he left that in Sydney when he got back to Melbourne.
Setters isn't the worst at the club, believe it or not. I think he's actually he's been on fire. Cripper's probably the worst at that.
Cripper's the worst at that?
Hands down. Hands down.
Cripper.
Yeah.
Is he on a budget?
He's on a budget. He's very safe with his money. He'd hate me saying that, but he is.
Mate, the more you have, the less you want to spend it, that's for sure. Zach Fisher, there's something very cool about you, and it's your nuances that you like, and it's something that we all have a little bit of similarities, yourself and I, but one of them isn't the first one that I want to talk about, but it's your tattoos. You love your ink. How many tattoos do you have at the moment?
I think I have around 10 to 15, just all around my body. Random ones.
What are they? Let's talk about a few of them, because one of them is quite incredible that I want to know first off. But one is Kick It to Charlie.
Yeah, I got that last year. So I had a deal with Harry and Charlie, the first one to kick more than six, I think. I'd get tattooed on my left quad, kicking lead that every time I got the ball, I knew who to kick to, and it wasn't H by the looks of it. And unfortunately, Charlie's been injured, so I haven't even played a game with him yet.
What? That's actually quite great. What are some of the other ones you've got?
I've got this is a podcast, but I'm coming up to the camera here. So left and right. I'm terrible with my left and right, so it actually doesn't help me because under the pressure, I don't even use them, so I usually just take the wrong turn anyway. I've got Easy on my left shin, which we love on my right shin. I've got DTP on my ass, which, yep. Just a few more random ones.
Did you get a bull recently as well?
Yeah, I've got a bull on my shin, yep.
How big's that? Big enough.
Fistful, two fistful, I reckon. Yeah,
that's a big,
I suppose I'd say.
That's a big bull. Moving on to the next topic that we both love, sneaker freakers.
Yes.
One thing that we have got in common and we do love to chat about recently is our sneaker collection. We're both a fan of Yeezys and other sneakers. How's your collection looking at the moment? What have you got? And what are you aiming to get?
Yeah, it's taken a bit of a hit during the COVID break because the suitcase capacity is pretty limited at the moment. So, I'm just a big Yeezy man. I don't have too many pairs of Nikes, but yeah, usually I like the V3 and the Aliens, the 380s.
Okay. It sounds weak, to be honest. I'm going to tell you about my collection because it just absolutely smashes yours. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I've been going really hard in isolation at the moment because I don't have anything else to do. But at the moment, my collection stands as this. I've got the Azareth 700s, the Wave Runner 700s, and the Mauve 700s. I've got the 500 Bones, 500 Salts, 500 Blacks, and I've got the 350 Zebras, 350 Sesames.
Is that it?
That's it. I've also got my Comme des Garçons in high tops and low. But the goals for next year are obviously going to be growing the Nike. So if anyone's out there and is listening to this and has some sneakers and they want to let me know what they've got or they want to trade, let me know because we're always looking to get some more. Zach Fisher, should I call you Witter something? What's your TikTok name?
Bitter Wizard.
What? Where's Bitter Wizard and where'd that come from?
Nah, it was my it's my PlayStation name, but yeah, I've had that since I was 10, I reckon. It's my brother's name and, you know, the Wu-Tang Clan generator. That's how it all come about.
What's your opinion of TikTok? Because it's been getting me into a little bit of trouble lately. I've had to actually delete the app.
I've deleted it. Deleted it yesterday.
And honestly had a severe addiction to TikTok.
Oh mate, so hard, and obviously you're in Melbourne at the moment. Can't do much. I'd spend upwards of a couple hours a day on that thing. Easy.
I actually got to a stage for me where I was knowing more about what Dixie and Charli D'Amelio and also Addison Rae were doing rather than the COVID-19 rules here in Melbourne. It's a seriously addictive app. I need to sort myself out, so I did delete that. But one man that I do know that loves his TikToks and he's a good friend of yours and I'm a big fan of this man is Matty Cottrell. Talk us through Matty Cottrell, his TikToks, and just the specimen as it is, because I'd love to get to know this young man.
Mate, he's an absolute ripper. You know, I said with his TikToks, that's exactly how he is in person. I think he's, you know, one of the most contagious people at the club. And when he's playing, I think all the boys get a huge lift out of him, as you could see with the Yana celebration.
Yeah, we love that celebration. I wasn't a big fan of Teague dropping him next week when he won the game off his own boot. But I'll have to have a word with Teague in the offseason.
No comment.
For sure. No comment.
Even Charlie Cameron stealing his Yana celebration, which was lovely.
Yeah, no, we don't stand for that either. It's Matty Cottrell, man. Mate, you're a big gamer. You're a big gamer, as you just said before. Now, gaming's something that I respect. I don't game myself, but I suppose at the start of this whole, you know, massive, I wouldn't say phase, because it's obviously not a phase now because people are still doing it, but it's such a big thing. Like, how can you explain gaming in the AFL? Is it a release for some guys, or do you think there's actually a future that's in it where you can actually, you know, go a certain way and take it to a special thing?
I think it is something that will be people will look more for a job in the future. I think it's what do they call it? It is an e-sport, I guess, but I think it's the most viewable sport because you can watch it 24/7, if that makes sense. I think some of the big streamers get, you know, grand final audiences every day, which is huge to believe. But, yeah, for me it's just a good release. I think in the quarantine period I would have put some 15 days of playing time in, which is a bit out of control. But, you know, yeah, I really enjoy it.
What do you play and do you stream? If anyone's listening out there who wants to play against you or watch you play, can anyone do it?
Yeah, anyone can do it. Call of Duty. I've got a squad of Billy Frampton, Peter Laddams, and Dan Houston is probably the four. So if anyone wants to play against us, go shoot.
So how do you do that? Like, I know I sound like a 40-year-old right now.
Or play,
like,
with us, yeah, or play against us?
I don't know,
us.
Whatever it is, how does it work?
Well, if you wanted to play with me, you just would have to add my username, Bitter Wizard, 2 Zs, and we'd link up and play some games.
That's great. I love it. I might have to get an Xbox.
It is very simple. It's good. It's one of the best things I can keep in touch with mates.
So I've heard, though, that your gaming's getting so serious that your beautiful girlfriend, Bella, has actually had to start gaming as well just so she can spend some time with you.
Yep, she's on the keyboard and mouse. We during the quarantine, people, I hate phone calls. Like, I can't do them. I'm a terrible texter. So we'd sit in, you know, a PlayStation party chat for 4 hours just playing COD together. She's not good, but, you know, it is time spent at the end of the day.
So she, instead of being on the phone, she'd come in and play PlayStation just to have a chat with you.
No. So when I was in lockdown in Perth, I don't like talking every night. So instead of talking, she would just jump on for a couple of hours, and yeah, we just play together. she gave in. If you can't beat the addiction, join it.
That is seriously the best story I've ever heard. I Justine, my little tofu princess, she would never ever do that for me. So you've definitely, Bella, she's an absolute champion. We give a shout out to her because she's our superstar. Zach Fisher, I feel like we've got to know you a lot better tonight, but what is the next 12 months, I suppose, like for Zach Fisher? What are your goals, I suppose, in footy, and what are your goals off field? Have you ever thought about that? I know you're only a young man. You've just signed a 3 or 4 year deal, but what is it? What does it look like for you, I suppose? Firstly, in footy, what's footy like for you?
I think for me, it's just trying to get better at my forward craft, I guess. And I think, yeah, it is very cliche, but I just want to keep improving. And I think, you know, we've got a really good block of off season where I can do that and work on myself. And team aspirations, we're obviously have no ceiling on where we can go next year. But I think as a goal, it's for me to just try and nail that forward craft. Because I think, it is a spot in Carlton where we don't have a lot of options, I guess. I think, and the half-back line, hopefully we'll get a bit of a bump. But yeah, I think if I can become the best small forward, we'll go a long way to helping Carlton.
Love that. And I couldn't agree more. But what are you thinking off field, I suppose? I know the gaming's a big one for you, but is there anything you want to sort of achieve off field now? You're 23?
Two. 22.
That's what I thought I said. 22 years of age. I know you're still a young man, but have you ever thought into what's next post-footy for you? I know that's still 10 years away, but have you ever thought about it?
I have had a little think about it. I think I'm at the stage where I'm just in a bit of a trial and error period. I was last year before COVID, working with Sam Rowe and the Akushi Homes, who are a building company. And I really did enjoy that. But I think for me, I'm just going to try and each year maybe do a bit of part-time work with a corporate sponsor or whatnot and just try and tick and cross whether I like it or not. But, it is I'm a bit unsure. But as you said, I think one of the first things that I can remember from you was everyone says it, but time flies in football and, you know, similar to 18 years. But, yeah.
Yeah, time flies in footy unless you're Cade Simpson, I think. But no, you're right, mate. You've got a great head on your shoulders. Can't wait to see what's next for you. Can't believe you're doing some building with Sam Rowe. That's actually made my day because Sam Rowe is a good man.
I'm not doing much building, mate, but I'm there.
Are you the foreman, are you?
I just follow him.
Yeah.
Laugh at all of his poor jokes and that's about it.
Love it. Zach Fisher, thank you so much for coming on the Dylan Friends podcast, my friend. It's been a real pleasure. It's been a treat. Can't wait to catch up for a few cordials and can't wait to see you running around in 2021. Go Baggers.
Go Blues. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Dylan Friends podcast. If you liked it, it'd be a massive help if you could subscribe, rate and leave a review. I'll even give you a kiss. The show is produced by Dylan Buckley and Sam Bonza. Damon Jackman from Creative Edge Films is responsible for audio and visual editing. Samuel Kenny Creative looks after graphics and animation, and the podcast is recorded at the Dylan Friends Studio, which sounds fancy, but really, a friend had a spare room at his office, and I took it over. If you'd like to get in contact to suggest a guest or advertise with the Dylan Friends podcast, you can email us at inquiries@dylanfriends.com, which will also be in the show notes. Thanks so much for tuning in.